Blog Talk Radio.
Life has few guarantees, but there's one important guarantee you can count on from Colonial Penn Life Insurance Company. Our guaranteed acceptance whole life insurance can help protect your family when you no longer can. Your acceptance is guaranteed if you're between the ages of 50 and 85, and it's easy to apply with no health exams or health questions asked. Guaranteed. And affordable coverage options to fit almost every budget. For free information, visit ColonialPenn.com. That's ColonialPenn.com.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. The those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the Text Now app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
She's just a girl and she's on fire, hotter than a fantasy, lonely like a highway. Catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away. Oh, she got both feet on the ground and she's burning it down. Oh, she got her head in the clouds and she's not backing down.
morning. This is a product of WBNN. This is Gem Segment, and I'm your host, Genesis Amaris Kemp. We are on air live from Lagos. Dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. And tonight, we have a fabulous lineup. Our topic is Women Fire Starters, Breaking Barriers Down and Going Places. We have a fabulous lineup tonight. And the first song you heard is Girl on Fire by Alicia Keys. So thank you so much, Brother O, DJ Olasky, for bringing us this fire beat tonight. Our first panel of the night is Sharon McDougal, which she will be followed by Carrie Sinai and Chelsea Fan with Popsy Chloe. Then we're going to cue in to our other guest, Liz H. Kelly with Goody PR, followed by Kim Benoy. And these women are going to be bringing the fire tonight. So whenever we welcome these ladies on, I want you to give these ladies a big welcome and tune in by hitting 1. So let's kick it off right. I'm going to tell you a little bit more who Sharon is, and we're going to welcome on our first panelist. Sharon McDougal has worked with the NASA family for 22 years. She was a Space Shuttle Crew Escape Equipment CEE manager. Before becoming manager, she was the first Black CEE spacesuit technician and the first woman and first Black crew chief. By reputation, she is well-known and well-respected as an expert in spacesuits and often called a modern hidden figure. As an African-American woman working in a vital but unheralded role for space flight, she has written a children's book about spacesuits titled For Launch with Shay and shares her love of space and STEM. So one of her taglines is, your current situation is not your final destination. So without further ado, let's bring on this fire starter, Sharon McDougal.
Hello?
Sharon.
Hey. Can you hear me?
Hey. Yes. Hey,
how's
Sharon.
It going?
Thank you so much. It is going well, and I know you are going places because I see you all over in the social media streets just blazing up the place.
Yes, girl, it's been amazing. I'm just enjoying the ride.
And thank you so much for being here tonight. I'm going to welcome on the rest of the crew so everyone could come on, and then we could start our panel. So our next fire starter tonight, are you ready, ladies? It's going to be Popsy Chloe, our ladies, Carrie Sinai, and Chelsea Fan. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about these fabulous ladies. Carrie Sinai is the founder, CEO of Popsy Chloe, a female-owned company that specializes in clothing for short moms. Popsy Chloe has just launched its first line of trailblazer overalls, which are available in 3 fun styles. She will be joined by her head of marketing, Chelsea Fan. Carrie and Chelsea are both MBAs and moms who are excited to chat tonight here on GEMS. And their tagline is comfy overalls for short parents. Let's welcome on Carrie and Chelsea. DNC.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Genesis. Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. So I heard Carrie and I heard Chelsea. Welcome, Firestarters. Now let's welcome on our fourth panelist, Liz H. Kelly. Let me tell you a little bit about Liz. She is the Goody PR and Goody Business Books Awards founder, award-winning author of 8-Second PR, New Public Relations Crash Course, and podcast host. Based on 20 years of public relations and marketing experience, Kelly is passionate about magnifying good. Kelly has booked thousands of media interviews for primarily small business and nonfiction author clients, including The Today Show, PBS, CNN, BBC World News, NPR, and In Time, The Wall Street Journal, Fast Company, Entrepreneur, along with hundreds of local TV, radio, and podcast interviews. Her tagline is Goody PR and Goody Business, Book Awards founder, and award-winning author, 8-Second PR. Come on down, Liz H. Kelly.
Well, hello, Genesis. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here with the other fire starters.
My pleasure, and thank you so much for joining us, Firestarter. And our other guest is Kim Benoit, y'all. Put your hands together. Let me tell you about Kim. So she grew up in the Midwest as the oldest of four kids. You are expected to take on responsibility, so you just do it. As you get older, you follow the path of that society and family expect you to, and you just do it. But when you reach the magic age of 50, golden 50, y'all, you suddenly realize that you want to do more and be more. Kim has found a passion for her own life that she wants to share with other women over 40. She talks about how mindset and how it affects what we think we can and should do and how to overcome it. She focuses on looking for the good in life in 2023 and wants to share what she has learned with you, audience. She's also working on her certification in aromatherapy, and she creates essential oil products for people and pets. So her tagline is, you can't do that, to go from okay to watch me. So let's watch this fire starter tonight. Welcome, Kim Benoit.
Hi, Genesis. It's nice to talk to you again. I'm excited for this.
My pleasure. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have now queued up all our fire starters who are definitely breaking barriers and going places. So this question, we're going to pose it here. And whenever you want to chime in, ladies, just let me know. Just start by saying your name so the audience knows who is talking. And let's be respectful of the panel since there's quite a bit of us tonight. And then, of course, we're going to have our commercial breaks and all of this goodness. So, ladies, I want you to each think about this question. When you first embarked on your personal journey, what was the start ugly moment for you, and how has it helped you be the woman you are today? So, who wants to go first, or should I just start picking people?
Did you say ugly moment?
Yes. So, your start ugly moment, meaning It was a hard moment that you had to face, whether it was in your career, personally or professionally, but it has molded you to be the fire starter you are today.
So oh, that's such a hard question. Tell me here. Can there be multiple hard moments? Personally, and I guess also professionally, I think a pivotal moment was in 2022. So for 6 months, I was working a full-time job, had a young newborn, and was also a teaching assistant. And so all of those roles kind of like coming together was really pushed me to my limit and helped me like prioritize what was actually important for me and what I wanted to do in my career, which was, you know, help other women and help, businesses and startups. And eventually actually got introduced to Carrie, and we immediately bonded with our shared experiences. So
thank you for sharing that. Chelsea. So, Carrie, do you want to follow behind Chelsea since y'all work together with Popsy Clo and share your start ugly moment?
Hi, Genesis. Hi.
Okay.
My start ugly moment, I had inspiration when I got really burned out in my corporate job and was just trying to solve a problem when I was pregnant with my first child, and I used that time to create my product, my overall.
thank you for sharing. And then I'm going to go over to Sharon because I heard Sharon chime in first. So, Sharon, I know you have been working in the STEM field for a while, and you've had some impressive start ugly moments, but then you've also had some golden moments. So I know that you helped suit up an infamous, you know, astronaut. So would you like to share your start ugly moment?
That ugly moment, it threw me off because that makes me think of something bad. When you say ugly moment, that's why I asked if that's what you said. So this isn't an ugly moment when I suited up Dr. Jemison at all. That was amazing. So the only ugly moment I can really think of is when I decided to leave the Air Force and didn't really know what I was going to do when I left. I didn't have a plan. So I was very fortunate to be able to come and work with the space program 6 months after I departed from the Air Force. So that was a struggle for me, but then everything was wonderful. I got here, and within a year, Dr. Jemison got assigned to her mission, and then I assigned myself to her, even though, you know, my supervisor was going to assign me anyway. And I got to, you know, be part of a very historical moment on STS-47, suiting up Dr. Mae Jemison, the first black woman to go to space, and I'm the only black woman in my department. So it was very amazing. I'm just glad I was able to be there for her.
And thank you for sharing that, Sharon. And I guess I'll remix the words here. So instead of start ugly moment, we could call it a character building moment, just so we could be intentional with the word choices, if that'll help y'all out. So next I want to jump over to Liz. So Liz, what was your character building moment that helped you be the fire starter you are today?
Well, I love this question, and I have multiple answers, starting with one that I think is funny but very important, and that is I failed second grade. And the reason why this was such a character-building moment is because my parents were hiding my report cards, and I didn't know I was failing second grade until I, at 7 years old, went to the principal's office and said, "Where are my report cards?" And they said, "Well, you are not doing well, so you can repeat second grade or you can go back to first grade right now." And I said, "Well, okay, I'm going to repeat second grade." And the reason why that was such a character building moment is, one, I was only 7 years old when I did that, but two, it made me a leader in my company, it made me a leader in my class, and that leadership gene carried over into me starting my own business, you know, umpteen years later, and also having confidence to venture out and do something on my own with Goody PR. So it goes way back, and then if you look at more recent things, you know, I did deal with layoffs. I worked in tech companies. I worked for MySpace right before I started my company. And I have been laid off from other tech companies and written books when I got laid off as something to do productive with my time. So I found that I got so many interviews for my books that when I got laid off from MySpace, I said, okay, I'm really going to take a big leap of faith. I'm not going to go back to the corporate world, and I'm going to start my own PR company so I can do this for other people. So I love that question because it really is what drives me, and I get excited every day now about my job where, you know, I didn't like working in the corporate world.
And thank you so much for sharing that, Liz, and that definitely hit home. So now I want to jump over to Kim. Kim, what was your fire starter moment and character building moment that helped you go from okay to watch me? I can show you better than I could tell you.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of along the lines with the other ladies where it wasn't just one particular moment, but it was all kind of building up to not continuing in my nursing career. And I hate to say the word retire, but that's kind of what I did. And that was a couple years ago when, you know, I'd been working with essential oils and I was doing some, you know, I was still nursing and I'd gone back and forth. Am I going to do a business or am I going to do nursing? And I was doing both. And I finally got to the point where I couldn't stand my job, my nursing job. It was just, and it wasn't the nursing part of it, it was other stuff going on. And I had this passion for my oils and for my podcast, and I'm doing all these things. And I finally just said, enough, you know, I need to stop the nursing career, be done the way I was doing it and just get my business going. And I haven't looked back. And it kind of surprised me because I thought I was a nurse for 27 years and all of a sudden I wasn't, you know, technically a nurse anymore. And I thought I'd be more, like not upset, but I thought I'd miss it more. And I really don't because I'm doing what I love.
I love that. And I love how you pivoted. And even though you don't want to say retired, you had a career change and now you're going from surviving to thriving. So I like what each one of you ladies said here tonight, and I hope it inspires those listening in, whether male or female or however you choose to identify as, to let them know that you are a fire starter in your own respective lane. And just to reset the stage, for those of you who may just came on air, we are on air live from Lagos. You can dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. The topic is women fire starters, breaking down barriers and going places, because each one of us today has broken down a barrier and we're not stopping where we are. As long as we have breath in our lungs, that means we still have a mission to accomplish here on earth. And it's not just for us, but it's for us to lay a foundation, build a legacy for those coming besides, behind, and future generations to come. So the next question of the night, ladies, I want you to dig deep whenever you hear this question. Each one of us, we were all little girls at one point of time, and you had a dream that was burning inside of you. I want you to think about that dream that you have had burning inside of you, and I want you to honestly ask yourself, did you ignite those dreams, or did you allow someone to dim your dreams because they couldn't see the vision that you had? And whoever wants to jump in on this first, please state your name so the audience knows who said it, so whenever they call in, they can address you properly. So think about that dream that you had when you were a little girl and ask yourself, did you ignite those dreams, whether it was one dream or multiple dreams? And if not, did you allow someone to put your dream out because they couldn't see your vision?
This is Sharon at Google.
Go ahead, Sharon. You got the floor.
Okay. As a little girl, my main dream was to leave my hometown. I didn't have a dream of I want to be in a certain career or anything. I just wanted to leave Mossman, Mississippi. I love my hometown. But there wasn't much going on there, and I knew there was more out there for me. So that was my main dream, and I did it. As I mentioned earlier, I enlisted in the Air Force right after on my 18th birthday, actually, and left after I graduated high school. And I was in the military for 7 years, where I learned my career to propel me to work with the space shuttle program. So that was mine, and no, I didn't let anybody dampen anything or change my mind or anything. I knew what I was going to do. I was focused on it. I didn't know how I was going to do it until the Air Force recruiter came to my school, how I was going to leave, but I knew I was leaving one way or the other. I wasn't going to be staying there. I knew it was so much more out there for me, and it definitely was.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that, Sharon. And we're going to take our next track, and then, ladies, when we come back, I want you to share your dream. So our track is next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame disc jockey DJ Olasky. Drop that beat, DJ.
Number Ferrari on that Chardonnay. Going touchdowns on your runway. I'm bitching forever like Bombay and I'm Rambo and he. Really rich like John Jack. I'm Camo and he. Can't clock me nowadays. You wish I was your pound cake. Boy, you know I look good if. Wish I was your baby mom. Want me to come around and give you good karma, but no. We escalating up in this like elevators. Of course, sometimes go down when it's $1 billion on the elevator. Of course, sometimes it should go down when it's $1 billion on the elevator. Round around in it, blossom on it. This diamond, my diamond. This rock, my rock. I woke up like this. I woke up like this. We flawless, ladies. Tell them I woke up like this. I woke up like this. We flawless, ladies. Tell them say I look so good tonight.
Japanese and Indian. Got Malaysian, got that Yaki, that wavy Brazilian.
Thirsty, I'm Hungarian. Nikki BB eating diamond fangs, barbarian.
Yo, like MJ Doctor, they killing me. Propofol, I know they hope I fall. But tell them winning is my mother protocol. Cause I score before I ever throw the ball. These washed up and ain't no soap and ball. It's every hood dream, fantasizing about Nikki and B. Curve delicious, serve delicious. Mayday, mayday, earth to slap these on a like we birthing. The queen of rap playing with Queen B. If you ain't on the team, you playing for Team D. Cause we A-listers, we pay sisters. This watch right here done phase blizzards. I confess I woke up like this. All this drank in my cup like this. All this on that flawless Instagram, another flawless pic. Flawless city with these flawless. I got all these hundreds, you got all the 50s. I'm with some flawless. Cause they mild and pretty. Just love that. That be on a grizzly. Throw that back, I be on my frisbee. Princess cut diamonds on my Disney. He want Monster, Nikki in Sri Lanka. I told him meet me at the Trump Ivanka. I said, come here, let me show you how this taste. This, that, yeah, eat the face. Rod.
Welcome back on the air, all my flawless fire stars. All of you ladies tonight are flawless, whether you know it or not, or whether the world co-signs it or not. You're flawless in my eyes. So walk in and own it. Where my fire starters at tonight, ladies? Holla! So we are back on air. For those of you that are just tuned in, we are live from Lagos. You could dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1, numero uno, y'all, to join the conversation. Now, going back into our question. Before the break, Sharon McDougal answered, and she talked about she didn't allow anything to kill her dream. So my question was, ladies, I want you to think about a dream or dreams you have had when you were a little girl. And did you ignite those dreams or did you allow those dreams to die because someone could not see your vision as big as you thought? So who wants to jump in first? Liz, Carrie, Chelsea, or Karen?
This is Liz. I'm happy to share with Goody PR. When I was a little girl, I think I was around 9, I went to a summer camp, and what was different about this summer camp was they honored people at the camp who were making a difference by being a team player or a leader or making people feel good about being there. And they actually gave out awards and for these honor, you know, awards. And I was so impacted by that that my dream as a little girl was to make a positive impact. And I even thought about buying this camp because I'd never seen a place where, you know, it was the opposite of where people bully each other. It was, you know, not cool to bully people. And, it was everybody helping everybody. So that really stuck with me. And so fast forward to starting my PR company, Goody PR, my goal is to magnify good and have clients who are making a positive impact on the world where I can share their story. So I think it's aligned with that, but you also asked the question about, did anybody try to, you know, hold me back or discourage me? And I would say no. But what I did was when I got laid off from MySpace and I decided, okay, I'm going to start my own PR company, I spent $5,000 and I went to a seminar with entrepreneurs that was hosted by Robert Kiyosaki, who wrote the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And the reason why I spent the $5,000 was because I said, the people that I want as clients, which are small business owners, entrepreneurs, authors, are going to be in this room and they will be willing to spend $5,000 for a 3-day weekend. And now it's 14, 15 years later and 2 of my clients are from that room. So, and I also had to do some work for free in the beginning because I didn't have a portfolio. I had only done PR for myself as an author. So that was a big hurdle to do work for free. I was living off unemployment in the beginning, but I just never gave up. I was so stuck on this vision to magnify good, share other people's story, and create my own business and not have to go back into the corporate world. That was really important to me, and I wish I had done it sooner. So for all the listeners out there, I tell them, go buy Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and forget your job. Start your own company.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Liz. So who wants to answer next after Liz? Carrie, Chelsea, or Kim? And state your name so the audience knows who's speaking.
Yeah, Chelsea
this is
here.
Kim, I can go ahead. Oh,
you go first, Kim.
Okay, I've been thinking about this, and I really didn't have like huge, magnificent dreams as a child, as a little girl. But I did have. It's kind of funny the things that came up to me. Like I always wanted a horse, and I always, you know, I knew that I wanted to, you know, get married when I was older and have a family. And when I got a little bit older, I knew I thought I wanted to be a journalist and go to school for that. And it's just thinking back about it, like I actually did get a horse, but not until I was an adult. And I've had several of them actually. And I did get married at a pretty young age and I had a family and, you know, all these things came about. The journalism thing, I started to go to college for that, but I didn't obviously do that because I went to nursing school instead and became a nurse. But then now that I'm doing my podcast, I'm kind of doing the journalism thing a little bit now too. So it's just kind of funny. Like I have accomplished most of my dreams or all of my dreams really as a young child. But now when I reached a certain age, I found even more that I wanted to do. And no one has, I wouldn't ever let anyone dim that or tell me I couldn't. I was the kid, you know, the girl who wanted to play football with the boys at recess. And so I campaigned and we did it, you know, that kind of thing. So it was a great question because it made me think about that. Well, yeah, I did have these dreams as a child, and I did get them. I made them come true, or, you know, they came true, and they just took a little longer than what I probably wanted, but they did.
Thank you for sharing that, Kim. And I think I heard Chelsea next and Carrie, and they're both with the same company, PopsyClo.
So I'm actually going to share in reverse order. Chelsea here. I'm going to share reverse order than everyone else. I was actually told towards the end of my high school, beginning of college, summer, that I was not going to amount to anything, and that I just needed to pick something that was safe. You know, I was probably just going to, you know, be in the small town telephone center, and I was never going to leave the area. And the opposite ended up coming true, because I kind of took that feedback, which was horrible feedback, and said, you know what, no. I don't know what I'm going to do. I had so many interests. I mean, one minute I was going to be a dentist. One minute I was going to be an artist. Another minute I was going to, you know, be the bass player in some band. I didn't know. I think I went to the Navy Recruiting Center one day, and another time I started filling out the paperwork to become an EMT. I just had so many interests. And I didn't know where or what I was going to do. And fortunately, I had the opportunity to, through my stepdad, move to Hawaii. And it was just a life-changing experience, you know, coming from a small town where even if I wanted to date somebody, I had to make sure that I wasn't related to them. That's how small of a town it was. I know. And so... And that's where I kind of found this passion for marketing and communicating and sharing value through this, you know, small retail job that I had. And I still didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, but I just started taking marketing classes. And the next thing I know, I realized, oh, wait, all of my classes are related to marketing and starting a business. And so that was what I chose my career in. And then fast forward, worked at startups that with other female-led companies, got my MBA, now I'm working with Carrie. So it's so interesting that pivotal moment started with somebody giving me and telling me that I could not do it. And I didn't have the attention span to do anything.
Wow. And thank you for sharing that, Chelsea. And people can say certain things about us, but it's up to us to allow those words to either be ignited in us or fall by the wayside. And I'm so glad you didn't gravitate to those words and allow it to debilitate where you were headed in life. And Carrie, same thing. I want you to share your moment, and then we're going to jump into taking our first caller of the night, ladies.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was, this is Carrie with PopsyClo. When I was really little, I wanted to get my MBA, which is my Master in Business Administration, because both my parents had met at business school, and I'm like, that's a very applicable degree. And so from when I was like elementary age, I started basically focusing my life towards getting a business degree. And I did get there gradually. I worked in sales and marketing for food. I got into business school at UC Davis. I had an internship and really was working essentially what I thought was my dream job in food as a marketing associate. But as I got there, I just kept on seeing myself get kind of like boxed into being sort of the really timid girl who never had original ideas. Like, I worked really hard, but I was always asking for permission. And then I didn't really get credit, and I didn't really get, I guess, I didn't really fit in as much as I wanted to. And so I was at a point where I thought I'd followed, like, the path, and it wasn't leading me to happiness. So once I realized that I was
going to be a mom, I decided it was a perfect opportunity to finally just strike out on my own and basically prove everyone who had told me that, you know, I couldn't do it, I didn't have good ideas, prove them wrong, and say, if I can start something from the very beginning and carry it all the way through the end, then I can prove something to myself and have something to speak about in the future. And it's really been a really, really great thing for me. I've never been happier being a mom and running my own business. It's been a little scary, but it's really fulfilling.
Thank you so much for sharing, Carrie. Okay,
I just want to say, like, Carrie is so creative. Like, her designs are just so inspiring. Like, every time I put on her overalls, I'm always, you know, feeling super happy. So, you know, it's, yeah, she's so creative. Sorry, I just wanted to plug that in.
Thank you, Chelsea. So, Firestarter ladies, we are going to take our first caller of the night. So, caller one, you are online with the host, Miss Genesis Amaris Kemp, and my Firestarter co-host. Please state your name and where you're dialing in from.
Hi, peace and blessings, Genesis.
Hi, Sister Bessie. How are you? I know the voice.
All right. Yes, I'm just calling in to give my support to you, my dear, and congratulations on your little one. And I wanted to say thank you to the ladies for coming on and telling their story. And you're doing a great job, and I'm so glad that you're back, Genesis.
Oh, thank you so much. So, ladies, Sister Bessie is also a WBNF host here on these airwaves. So she's part of the family with me. So, Sister Bessie, can you let them know when your next show is?
Yes, my next show is on March the 30th. And my segment is called The Front Porch. I send all my love to the guys out there. And I send my love to you and your guests, and peace and blessings to all of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for being a fire starter. So, ladies, let's keep the vibes high and going. So we're going to jump into our next musical track by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame disc jockey DJ Olasky. Drop that beat, DJ.
We are living our lives like it's golden. And that was Jill Scott, golden, because I feel like each one of us tonight is golden. And we are in Women's History Month, and I don't feel like we should just have one month. It should be, you know, women tearing it up, making her story, a.k.a. history, all year long, because we are incredible in our own skin. So if you agree with that, I want you to give me a quick holla. Let's keep the vibes high tonight, Firestarters. So those of you that are just tuning in, we are on air live from Lagos. You can dial in at 516-453-9933 and press 1 to join the conversation with me and my other fabulous Firestarters host tonight. Our next question for the night, ladies, I want you to think about this and ask yourself, is collaboration the new competition, or is it the new way of creating synergies? Because when we link arms, we really can go further, faster together, because we are partnering with one another, we are uniting, and we are sharing our skills with one another to reach vast audiences. So I'm not sure who wants to take this question first, but you already know the drill. State your name so the audience knows, and let's be respectful of one another tonight. Who wants to take it?
Lady. Kim, I'd be happy to answer that first. Okay, so I think collaboration is so important, and I've noticed, as you know, I talk to a lot of women in midlife, and I always ask about, you know, how you feel about other women, and do you notice something that, and what I notice is when you get to a certain age, that competition kind of goes away, and it's more of a collaboration or camaraderie maybe. And I just remember the first time I noticed it, I was at an event where I was selling some of my essential oils things, and it was all women, and we were all brought together by this wonderful lady who was running the whole thing, and it struck me, like, all the women in the room were supporting each other, and we were cheering each other on. And as I kind of have grown wiser, I've noticed that happens a lot more, where women tend to support each other because we're all in the same boat. We kind of realize that we don't need to compete with each other. We need to help each other out and support each other. And I think that's a wonderful part about this stage of my life. And I want to tell, like, I have daughters in their 30s, like, come on, guys, it's going to be better when you get older. You'll have more, you know, you have more support for each other, I promise. So that's just what I have found, and I think it's so important and so wonderful.
Thank you so much for sharing, Kim. So, ladies, who's the next to take the floor? I'll start calling on you. Don't be scared.
I can go. This is Liz Kelly with Goody PR, and I love this question because I do think collaboration is wonderful, especially for women, and because we tend to support each other a lot, and we have more emotions, and we connect more with each other, and I love it because someone called me today, actually, about a collaboration, and they're doing a conference called Speakonomics, and it's to teach people how to be a speaker, but they want me to come as a guest and talk about how to get on podcasts and why should a speaker get on podcasts to promote their work. And I just love that she reached out to me, and then she said, and I need your help promoting the event. And so I said, of course, I will help you promote this event. And it's just a great cross-marketing opportunity for me with Goody PR, because maybe I'll find some clients there. But it's a win-win for her because I'm going to reach out to my network and promote her event. So I do think collaboration is very powerful, and the future for small business owners, especially women.
I agree, and thank you so much for sharing, Liz, and congratulations on that partnership. So I'm going to call on Sharon next. Sharon, you're all about collaboration. I know you have something to say. Come on, Firestarter. Sharon?
Sorry, I was still on mute. I was just talking. Okay, so you already know. I was going to go next anyway. Sharon McDougal, suit up for lunch with Shay. Collaboration is everything. Not just as far as, you know, to making the connections to, you know, get more business and stuff, but having people be your sponsor. We all sponsor each other, hopefully, and that's part of collaborating. Like when that person isn't even there, if it's something that'll fit them, you know, put their name out in that room so people can contact them, you know, be their voice if they're not there, if you know that'll be a good fit for them. And I have that happen quite often with people who reach out to me because somebody mentioned my name in a room that I wasn't even in because they thought it would be a good fit for me. So that's a big part of collaboration for me. And, of course, just collaborating a lot with women. I've been forever, even before I wrote my book and, you know, when I was still in the service, I always collaborated with other women because we, you know, we do better when it's more of us, you know, instead of just one person trying to just, you know, do everything. When you have other women helping you out, you know, giving input from different backgrounds and everything, it's just better. And especially since I wrote my book, oh, my goodness. I've had so much collaboration, whether it be with speaking engagements or like this panel or going out to visit schools or Girl Scout troops or what have you. I mean, it's just been, and it's just like, it's just, you know, I'll visit one place and then something will come from that and on and on and on. So it's just collaboration and women just loving on each other. And I love it. Like you said, it's not just women, it's not just March, it's all year long, it's Women's History Month. So I collaborate over and over. Anybody want to collaborate? Holler at me.
I love it. I'll holla. Thank you so much, Sharon, and thank you for the work that you do day in and day out. So I'm going to tap on the Popsy Clo ladies because y'all are all about collaboration. Even though y'all are just starting out, we met at the Prego Expo, y'all, which is an amazing event for moms, whether you're a new mom or a seasoned mom, to just really get together and love on one another and just talk about all things momhood and et cetera. So, ladies, how important is collaboration, and do you see it as competition or as synergies for us to go further and faster together?
Chelsea Fan here, the CMO for Popsy Clo. So I would say a collaboration is just so key because we'll have our little team meetings and stuff, and we'll come with like an idea that's raw, right? You have this idea, you have this vision, but when Carrie and I will get on the phone, we just kind of take it and build off of it and take it to the next level, whatever idea it is, whether it's us trying to figure out what sticker we should make, to, you know, reaching out to new people or, you know, potential new product launches, even a social media post. We have so many different ideas, but because we're able to bounce these ideas back and forth, we're able to take our experience or our vision and kind of like meld it together. And I absolutely love supporting Carrie and her business and her overall. I literally call them my parenting uniform, because there's like so many pockets, like the utility of it is incredible. But Carrie, do you have any other thoughts to share?
Hi, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, collaboration is so critical. Without collaboration, I'd have like literally nothing. there'd be no overalls, there'd be no photos of the overalls, there'd be no social media channel, there'd be no followers, it'd be nothing. And so I've been really, really lucky to be supported by mostly at this point women. And it's been really nice. I mean, as a new mom and as a new business owner, it's scary. I had to start from scratch, and it's been just really positive and really, really, really fun.
Yeah, I feel like whenever you, like, first become a mom, it's like all of a sudden you join this, you know, supportive group. of women that can all empathize of like going through the process of like, you know, having kids, raising kids and stuff. And we all kind of experience the same pain points. And so the other day I was at a restaurant and I saw a mom pop out a fan to cool down her son's food. And I went, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I never thought about bringing a little fan. But yeah, I think it's crazy. I think it's amazing how many artists Carrie has like reached out to. They're just so creative as well.
Beautiful. And thank each one of y'all, you know, for just coming on tonight and just sharing and holding space with me. I'm going to go jump in and speak as the host. So when I think about collaboration, to me, I think about a way of showing that I don't have all the tools. I don't know everything. I'm not going to claim to know everything. And being able to ask for help is definitely not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength because I'm saying I don't have all the tools in my toolbox, and that's okay because I know what I do have. I could share that with other women and men, and we could bring our ideas together to really create a COE, a center of expertise or a center of excellence, in order for us to put our brain powers together to go from ordinary to extraordinary. So whenever I see people who still have the crabs in the barrel mentality, I feel like they are missing out on life, because if they would just put that to the side and let that go by the wayside and think about it, okay, what can I do that will help this individual out, and what can they do to help me out, and how can we build together? Because it's not just about us, it's about what can we do that's going to extend and touch other people's lives, meaning we're all going to leave some type of imprint, but how is that imprint going to drive to be an impact? And for those of you that are maybe tuning in, my background was oil and gas and energy. I was in the field for 12 years, and had I not got laid off in the middle of the pandemic after losing my father the week prior, I wouldn't have never started GEMS podcast. And not only do I do this radio segment, but I also have a podcast. So sometimes life doesn't just happen to us, but it happens for us to get outside of our comfort zone, launch out deep, and do the damn thing. And each one of us tonight have been there. We have done the darn thing. And I just wanted to share that it doesn't matter where you are in your life right now. It matters where you end up and what actions are you going to take to secure a better future. Because you never know, tomorrow may not be promised, but what can you do today? So I just wanted to interject that and keep the vibes high and energy high tonight, because we are all here for an amazing purpose. And I also want to give a shout-out to our DJ, because he's back there holding it down. And we're going to dive into our next track, and then we're going to come back. So our track is next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame DJ Olasky. Drop that beat, DJ.
I'm a woman, call me a bitch, cause I speak what's on my mind. Guess it's easier for you to swallow if I satisfy. Tell a female by his back, doesn't he talk, don't know how to act. Joke, simple, and little boy was making up a few false rumors. That was sure it's not a man for me, it's better in shape for popularity. He said he won't be interested in running the but now it's time for me to come and give you more to say.
Around the world,
all the men that don't
think
they're good, taking all the women so they seem like, oh, what do we do, girl?
Down, down, down.
Getting them over,
That was Can't Hold Us Down by Christina Aguilera featuring Little Kim. Thank you so much, DJ Olasky, for playing that beat. For those of you that may just be tuning in tonight, we are on air live from Lagos. You could dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation with me and the Firestarter co-host tonight. So we have Sharon McDougal. We have Carrie Sinai, Chelsea Fan, Liz H. Kelly, and Kim Benoit. So let's just jump back into the topic, ladies. So we've had some great questions so far tonight, and I want you to think about this question here. In life, sometimes we as women are in male-dominated fields, and sometimes we feel like we need to remain quiet for whatever reason it may be. But I want you ladies to think about a time where you said, no, I am bucking the status quo because I deserve to have a seat at the table. And if you didn't get a seat at the table, how many of you created your table and made your own seat? And I'm going to start, I'm just going to randomly pick Kim.
Oh, no. I always need some time to think about these wonderful questions. I don't, you know, I'm trying to think, you know, as a nurse, you know, most nurses are female. Not all of them, but we work with, you know, we work with doctors who, you know, there's that whole doctors are above the nurses, but really they aren't. So I think I can answer this question by just kind of realizing as I went through my nursing career that nurses and doctors worked as teams, and that's what it should be, and it kind of changed to that. But there was a lot, I worked, a lot of my career was in labor and delivery, and we would get a lot of, you know, women who wanted to be induced because they were uncomfortable, and yes, I know it is uncomfortable to have, you know, to be pregnant. And I just remember talking to a doctor one day, and he had this patient who really wanted to be induced, and, you know, he just was tired of listening to it, and he wanted to get her in. And I had a professional conversation with him, and just, you know, it's not healthy for the baby, and they know that, but, you know, just just kind of, we talked about it as a male-female kind of thing. And, you know, I'm probably not explaining this right, and I don't want to offend anyone. I just, you know, we were kind of talking in the way that men always want to fix things and women, you know, that men just want to fix things when there's something going on, and he could. So I don't think I'm answering this very well, but it's kind of, it was what struck me afterwards was that I actually had the strength to talk to him about it professionally and explain, you know, why this bothered me, that we were inducing, you know, someone who medically didn't need to be. And it was a good conversation. Nobody got upset. And just having that strength to do that, I wouldn't have done that as a younger person, I guess I would say, as a younger woman nurse. So I hope that helps and you don't regret picking me first.
Yeah, that definitely helps. And thank you so much for sharing that, Kim. Now I'm just going to randomly pick right here. So I think I'll go with Sharon next. So Sharon.
Girl, me and this mute. Okay, to share. I've always been a fire starter, so I've never been that girl that didn't speak up. Or like when I first went into my unit at the Air Force, I was 18, and I came in there like a gangbusters, like I owned the place. So I've never been in that situation where I'm like, you know, I shouldn't say anything, or I shouldn't, you know what I'm saying, shying down or not speaking up or anything, and I tend to speak up for other people too. So I've never been in that situation that I can recall, because I have no problem, you know, saying what's on my mind, or if I think something's unfair or whatever the case may be, or I deserve more money because I do a better job than most people in here. You know, I was that girl. I will speak up for myself with no problem. And like I said, I will speak up for other people too.
For sure.
And it helped make changes, because a lot of people wouldn't say anything. They just keep working and not getting a raise, or just being treated however they're being treated and not speak up for themselves. So I was able, by doing that, I was able to, you know, help change things in my department. So I
thank you.
I'm at
so
a loss
much
for a moment. Yeah.
Wow. I'm just so grateful.
All right. Now, I do believe that our young lady's having a problem with her line right now, but I'm going to try to come on. Hey, ladies, this is Ola Della in Malay wearing Gozi. And we're going to ask the same question of the panel. Hopefully, Genesis is back. Genesis, are you there?
I am. Can everyone hear me?
All right. Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear. So I was about to ask those questions. I was coming on, you know. I got you. I got your back.
Thank you so much. So, Sharon, I want to thank you so much for sharing that, because some women, I do feel we as women, sometimes we can be a little bit of timid and scared, especially if we're in a male-dominated workforce and we may not want to necessarily speak up. But it's up to us women to know that we have, you know, a voice, we matter, we should be respected, and we should have a seat at the table. And whenever we don't have a seat at the table, create our own table, our own seat, and come to the party in a respectful, poised manner without doing anything strange for a piece of change, or without doing anything that will compromise our morals, values, and integrity. So I'm going to take the same question, and I'm going to flip it over to the Popsyclo ladies.
Carrie, can you repeat the question?
Hi. I can start. So basically you're saying, just repeat the question. This is Carrie from Popsicle. It's just when we had to create our own seat at the table, is that correct? So I have two parts of me. One side of me is pretty, like we mentioned it, like pretty timid. And all the way through school, I usually knew answers to questions, but I never raised my hand. I was too afraid to speak. But at the same time, I've always played competitive soccer. In college, I played club rugby. I've done CrossFit for a lot of years. And I realized that how could I, the same person, be so confident and, like, in sports and so timid in other aspects of her life? And so I've really embrace that more confident, competitive side of me in the last 2 years or so to really bring my professional aspirations to life.
Thank you for sharing that, Carrie. Chelsea, you go.
I think I was fortunate to realize that I, didn't have a seat at the table. I just assumed that I was just going to sit down and join everyone. and just kind of like walked in and was like, okay, I'm here. Hear me. Hear my opinion. I'm going to speak up. And as well as, speak with and learn. But I think like when I did my MBA, a lot of the classmates definitely had, PhDs and they were like experts in their field. And I was kind of like this like generalist marketing girl who now had to try to like collaborate and understand like the science of all that. And it's interesting because now I look back and I was like, oh, I was managing a lot of egos. And kind of was like trying to push their egos away so that I could like, be heard, especially when we had client projects, working with other organizations. So, yeah.
I love that. And thank you so much for sharing that, Chelsea, because it can be a bit intimidating, especially when you're doing an MBA program. And sometimes, depending on what program or where you go to school, it may be, a lot of males in that program versus females. So then, in a sense, you become a minority taking aside from race in a, in a field. So I'm just so glad that you shared that because I think it's going to resonate with whoever hears it. So now I'm going to ask the same question to Liz. Are you there, Liz?
Thank you, Genesis, for bringing this up. There are so many good points that everybody is making, and I think as a woman, I'm fortunate that I grew up in a house where I had a mother as a role model who worked. She was a teacher. She taught English for 30 years, but she always told us, like, you can do whatever you want. And then my father was also a cheerleader. So I think I just feel really, really lucky that I grew up like that. So I think the harder things for me have been just learning how to be my own boss and how to start my own company and how to negotiate with clients. And I was in one mentor program, and it was for entrepreneurs. And the guy who was running it came up with an idea that I use now. And he said, just tell people that you only take 5 VIP clients and basically push them and say, well, I only have one more opening. So, if you want it, you need to, act fast. And I don't say it exactly that way, but that was the gist of it. And that one lesson really made all the difference. The other thing that I learned out of that executive entrepreneur program was the power of no. And I think as women in general, we tend to be yes people, because we're people pleasers and we want to support each other and help each other. But by learning the power of no and setting boundaries, that really helped me break through and be more successful. So those two tips I will share with the audience, and hopefully that will help any female entrepreneurs out there.
Thank you so much, Liz, for sharing that. And I'm so glad that you had a household of cheerleaders because, having a team with you behind the scenes as well as on the foreground cheering you on does definitely make a difference. And I'm going to do something a little wild here. I want to hear a male perspective, and so I'm going to bring in Brother O, also DJ Alasky, because I know he had, some prominent women in his life that played a role for him. So from a male perspective, how has a woman fire starter helped you as a male in your profession?
Well, definitely, I want to thank you for letting me come on. And, of course, this is a surprise. I'm going to get Genesis after the program. But, however, I think the greatest fire starter in my life would be my mom. She took no feet to the fire. Did not allow me to settle for second best. Always wanted me to further my education. And I did that. Especially growing up where I grew up in the city of Compton, California, where gang violence was prevalent. I was in gangs since the age of 11, and I was able to come out of that by the grace of God, going to the Coast Guard Academy, get my bachelor's, come out, get my master's degree from the University of Southern California. It's all about my mom's determination, you know what I mean? And that's why I'm so determined. Well, even on this network, and Genesis knows my story, I have not missed a night in 10 years, period. Never call out. You know what I mean? Now, this year, I'm going to take a week vacation. There'll be no shows from Sunday to Friday. I'll let everybody know when I'm going to do it. But I'm going to take time for myself. Right, Genesis? And since I own it, I'm going to do it. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, through determination and hard work, I demand the same from my hosts. And I'm just proud to have a great roster of hosts, a great, great network that is Beverly Nation WBNN. And, ladies, I started this network on the 10th anniversary of my mother's passing, February 4th, 2013. And we celebrated our 10th year, broadcasting this year. So all I want to do is say thanks, Mom. Bye, Genesis.
Thank you. You know how I do. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. So thank you for coming on and doing the audible with me. So, ladies, back to you, my fire starters. I just wanted to just hear a male perspective just so the men listening in tonight can know that I see you, I hear you, you're valid, and you are, you know, a fire starter and trailblazer. But tonight it's Women's History Month, and we're going to do this all year long. But I also wanted to, you know, shout out my men tonight. So, women, I want you to think about this question here. We all know that women, we can be hormonal at times, whether it's PMS, whether it's our moods, whether having a baby, or whatever the case may be. You think about a time in your life, and how did you put your hormones aside in order for you to push ahead and get the job done? Because you can't let your hormones keep you stagnant. You have to kind of say, okay, I understand that I'm hormonal, but I cannot allow my hormones first, because we're all age ranges here, but jump in, stay to the audience, and let's just have a great conversation. Ladies, I'm going to start calling on you.
Chelsea here, I can take the dive first.
Okay, go ahead. You have the floor.
So, Chelsea fan from Popsicle. I think it's really interesting because, like, with my pregnancy, it was just a whole new ballpark for me. I was fortunate enough, you know, other than my initial puberty, I have a very, like, pretty steady, you know, hormonal range. Nothing goes to any extremes. But with pregnancy, it's like the complete opposite. I was like, is something wrong with me? I was like, one minute I'm completely happy, and then the next minute I'm crying, and then, like, I'm all over the place, and here I am having to do, like I mentioned, for my pregnancy, I was, in doing my MBA program, so I'm meeting with different classmates, teachers, and then I was also doing a lot of client projects. So it was so interesting trying to, like, recognize when I was starting to be triggered as well. And recognizing when it was happening. And I think the only saving grace was I have one of those, like, walking treadmills, which allowed me to get a lot of, like, energy out when I was doing these meetings, because I kind of leaned more towards, like, the aggressive and anxiety side of my hormones. So, yeah, that's what I did.
I love that. And thank you so much for sharing that, Chelsea. And I'm glad you had a treadmill. So let's pass the baton to another fabulous lady tonight. And I'm just going to pull a hat out the bag, and we're going to go with Kim.
Well, working or doing my podcast called Midlife with Courage, I talk to a lot of women who are going through hormonal stages, you know, the perimenopause and the menopause, and myself too. You know, I think it's really difficult to put things aside, put hormones aside and just keep going, but you learn ways to do it. I'm kind of, when I kind of started going through the, you know, the perimenopause, I was very surprised at the symptoms that popped up. And so I'm kind of at the other end of the spectrum here from some of the other ladies, but some of the things that have come up, like, you know, the mood swings are amazingly strong and just like the brain fog and things like that. And so I haven't learned how to put the hormones aside, but I have learned how to deal with them and get things done. You know, I use essential oils and nutrition and all those wonderful things that we're supposed to do. Not always, you know, consistently, but, you know, I do them. So I've never really let that affect what I'm doing as far as career or life in general. I just, my attitude is that's part of what I know, part of life as a woman, and you deal with it and you move on. So I guess that's what I've done.
Thank you for sharing, Kim. And now we're going to jump over to Sharon.
Hey, Sharon McDougal, Suit Up for Launch with Shay. Well, what I do to deal with it is just stick my head in the freezer about 5 minutes, and then I move on.
No, I've really been lucky. I have the hot flashes, but not really anything to make me like, oh, I just can't function today, or, you know, because as women, we're just used to just doing everything and pushing on regardless our whole lives, even as girls. We have to run the households, or we have to, you know, we have to do everything. So it's like menopause, so what? That's just another thing. Add in the bucket. Come on. What else you got?
Yes, thank you, Sharon. Sticking your head in the fridge. Let's jump over to Liz.
Well, that was very funny. This is Liz from Goody PR. I do not stick my head in the freezer. But I do think that, you know, ups and downs and stress in general is just part of what we have to deal with. And everybody has their different ways to manage stress. And mine in particular is I go on walks. And if there's like a really big thing going on, I'll go for a walk at 7 o'clock in the morning, even though I'm not a morning person. But usually I'll go for walks in the afternoon because that's when I need to take a break and I need to get away. But anytime like something really stressful happens or a client may upset me or I don't know how to solve a problem, I go for a walk. It sounds simple, but it's really important for me for stress.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing that. Walks are definitely super beneficial. And so I think we've heard from all the ladies. Carrie stepped away, so I'm going to jump in here. So when I was working in oil and gas doing my corporate career, I was that happy hour, you know, goer. At the time, I have to turn down for baby time here. So now a nice hot steamy shower, a bubble bath, a mani-pedi or something along those lines, even a good Netflix and chill with my hubby or, you know, my baby, even though every now and then I get tired of hearing Coco Melon or some of the other things, but, you know, that comes with the territory. So just always, like, looking for ways where I get balanced, but also checking my mood at the door, because if I know that I'm doing something that is outside of my character, then I have to check my mood at the door and check in with myself internally to make sure that I'm whole and complete for myself, but also for those that need me, which is my young child, my daughter, my husband, and the other people in my world that depend on me. And sometimes it is hard because, you know, after you have a baby, you go through your fourth trimester, you're in postpartum. Some women have perineal mood disorder. You have to be mindful if you have postpartum depression or whatever the case may be. So really checking in with yourself is very key. And that's some of the things that I'm doing based in this current season of my life. So I'm going to reset the stage here. So for those of you that may have just came on, we are on air live from Lagos. You can dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation with myself and my Firestarter co-host, Sharon McDougal, Liz H. Kelly. We have Popsy Close, so Carrie and Chelsea. And then we also have Kim Benoy on. So let's dive into another powerful topic here. And if you ladies want to throw an audible, we could do that too, because we're all tonight. Our final thoughts from the guests. So this is your audible moment, and then we'll jump into Ngozi time. So who wants to give their final thoughts regarding the show and the overall topic of women fire starters breaking barriers down and going places?
Just Sharon McDougal, I'll go first.
Okay.
I want all women and girls to know that you are amazing, to always show up as your authentic self. That way you don't have to be trying to switch up and remember how you were one day or another. Just be yourself. Know that you're in the room because you belong there, table because you belong there. And as I mentioned earlier, well, as you mentioned for my tagline, is your current situation is not your final destination. Because we tend to get stuck right where we are if something bad happens or we're going through a tough time and want to just wallow there. But just know, better days are coming. Your current situation is not your final destination.
Beautifully said. And thank you so much, Sharon. And I want to give you your flowers metaphorically while they could bloom. Thank you for sharing and holding space with me tonight. So who's the next lady to give your final thoughts for the night? Okay, I heard Chelsea and Kim. Which one of y'all wants to go first?
Chelsea, you can go.
Okay. I was just going to say, like, don't, you know, be afraid to be a trailblazer. I mean, even if, you know, you have, like, a product that, or an idea that's kind of being out there, there's always so many different angles to improve upon it and build upon it. And reaching out to your network and, you know, saying, hey, I have this idea. How can we make this? I think it's just so important. And, you know, never also fear rejection, because the worst somebody's ever going to say if you go up to them and ask them for something is they're going to say no. Okay, well, maybe they weren't the right person to help you in the beginning.
I love that. Thank you so much, Chelsea. So, Kim, I heard you. So,
sure. Yeah, I think the number one thing I want to say is to all women and younger women, girls, is listen to your gut. I don't know how many times you know, I wanted to do something and my gut was telling me something different and I didn't listen to it, did not turn out. But every time I listened to what I was feeling was what I needed to do, things went well and I found new things to do and wonderful things. So just that would be my advice to all women. Like, just listen to your gut and don't listen to what your mind is telling you, because your mind is not always right. Just listen to that gut and know in your gut what you need to do. So just do that.
Beautifully said, and thank you so much for adding that, Kim. Listening to your gut and having discernment is key. So, Liz, what are your final thoughts for this segment tonight?
Well, thank you again, Genesis, and all the panelists. I really love all the advice tips tonight. It's been so helpful. And I'm just honored to be here. And my advice, I think, would be to ask questions, listen, and learn as a woman, and find a mentor. I think finding a mentor can be really helpful, but don't stop at one mentor. Get a panel of mentors, like the people on this panel tonight, who may have different strengths and different perspectives that they can share with you to help build your self-confidence. And that really is what this is about, is believing in yourself and never giving up. And there's a book, it's called Little Voice Mastery, that I really like, and it's all about managing that little voice in your head that might say, you know, you can't do this, but you need to flip it to, yes, you can. And that believing in yourself, finding the team of mentors, that will take you so far. And I just want to thank everybody again for being here tonight and letting me be part of the conversation.
Thank you so much, Liz. And I guess one of my final thoughts, I'll just jump in because I think Carrie had some mom obligations, is asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a strength. If your dreams do not scare you, they're not big enough, so dream bigger. Always go further than you anticipate it, meaning do not allow certain limitations, whether physical, emotional, spiritual, or et cetera, keep you confined. You are not born in a box, so don't place yourself in a box. It's time for you to pop, prepared on purpose, because you were created for such a time as this, and I need you to take full authority of who you are and where you are headed. Now we're going to jump into Ngozi time, and then we will close out this segment so I can be respectful of everyone's time commitment. Ngozi time!
Commissioner.
All right. Yes. All right, everybody. Wow, Genesis, what a wonderful show tonight. I truly enjoyed it. I enjoyed your Firestarter guests. What amazing women. And I salute all of you tonight, Chelsea, Kim, Sharon, Kayla, Liz, and Carrie. What a wonderful job tonight. And talk about Firestarters and some of the things you talked about, Genesis. They were really awesome. And what really stuck out for me tonight is, you know, if you don't have a seat at the table, do you make your own seat? Do you make your own, prepare your own table? Yes, I've been one to always prepare and set my own table. I've never been one to wait for others to do anything for me. I've always been a go-getter and an entrepreneur since a little young girl, and that's still in me.
I think we might have lost Commissioner. That's okay. I'll go on and do this. First of all, I want to thank Genesis tonight for our wonderful programming, and I want to thank Commissioner for taking the time. You know, tonight's been a real trying time for Blog Talk Radio. You guys got to do better. All right. And, of course, now in Ghosty Time. Blue Union has broadcasting prominence, and we have advertising to in Ghosty Time Multimedia. We're at Pinterest and Instagram and Twitter at Ghosty_Time. Hello, Brother Malay, we go to your Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, or I want for program tonight? Ole De Lay, Dying Ghost with Mine, gmail.com, and I am. Your mother and father's favorite producer, Ole Dolly Malay, we go to saying good night and good luck. To all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio, to support us on a constant basis. Stay tuned tomorrow night for the 2022 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting enshrining Mr. Tara Strength and Know Your Rights, 9:30 Eastern Daylight, right here on the Story Network. We are Beverly Nation. And now back to Genesis Amaris Kemp.
Well, I want to thank everyone tonight from all of my Firestarter co-hosts, Sharon McDougall, Liz H. Kelly, Carrie Sinai, Chelsea Fan, Kim Benoit, for each one of you ladies coming on tonight and standing in solidarity with me, because without you, I wouldn't have been able to do a stellar show tonight. Each one of us came together tonight to share some incredible topics and, you know, our heartstrings to help those out there who are listening in, whether they're listening by dialing in or they're listening in from the web. So audience out there, we want to thank you for just supporting each one of us tonight and just really listening in. And whenever I came up with the topic, Women Firestarters, Breaking Down Barriers and Going Places, is to let any girl, woman, man, boy, whatever, know that you are a fire starter. You can break down barriers. Just because a hurdle may be there, I don't need you to go around that hurdle. I need you to jump over that hurdle and keep on going, because it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And if you look out to what's in ahead of you, you know that your destiny is bigger. But if you are paying attention to minute things or what's in the rearview mirror, it is only going to distract and deter you. That is why the rearview mirror is always smaller than the windshield, because your future and your destiny is so much brighter. So it's important and it's imperative that you break down barriers in order to go places in life, because as long as you are living and breathing, that means you still have work to do. It's not time for you to stop. It's not time for you to press the brake. I need you to mash the gas and keep on going. Of course, use caution, use discernment, use your wisdom, listen to your gut, but most importantly, go within yourself and ask yourself, how can I be a trailblazer? How can I link arms with other women and men to break down barriers and achieve extraordinary experience in order for my legacy to be left for future generations? Because somebody needs you to pass the baton to them, and each one of you ladies have done that tonight. You have passed the baton between all of us here on this panel, as well as the work you're doing in your community, the work that you get seen for and the work that you don't get seen for. You are making a difference. You are a fire starter.
So, ladies, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for standing with me tonight. Ladies.
She just wants to be beautiful. She goes unnoticed. She knows no limits. She craves attention. She praises an image. She prays to be sculpted by the sculptor. Oh, she don't see the light that's shining. Deep within the eyes can find it. Maybe we are made of blind souls. She tries to cover up her pain and cut her woes away. Cause cover girls don't cry after the fade.